So we were in lesson 5, chapter 3 of Proverbs, and I think I stopped at around verse 19, which I have titled The Wise Creator. And I'll pray in a second just to go over what we did last week. The topics were to walk rightly with God by valuing His Word, walk rightly with God by trusting Him, walk rightly with God through a humble life, walk rightly with God in regards to your possession, receive correction from God with the right heart, and this is all, once again, from chapter 3, and the benefits of God's correction, and also the wise creator. And that's where we will start today. So before we get started, let me open up with a word of prayer, and we'll get to it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Father, because you have revealed yourself in your word. You have revealed yourself in the person of your Son. And what a wonderful blessing that you have been so gracious and so kind to grant us repentance, that we would turn from our sins and that we would look towards you through your Son, believing in him, believing in his death, and believing in his life and being an acceptable sacrifice to be a substitute for sinful mankind. We pray that you be with us, be with me as I attempt to teach Proverbs. And Father, I pray that I do so with all humility, not anything on my own, but under the power and guidance of your Holy Spirit. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we went through, and I'm going to kind of breeze through this because it seems like time just really flies when I'm up here having so much fun. So we start at verse 19 in chapter 3. And I'll just read from 19 to the end of the chapter so we can get an idea of what the context is. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidant and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. And by understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. Very poetic language. In creating the world, God truly showed his wisdom. And we can see this in the features of small and big, and I think I alluded to that a little last week. He fitted and ordered the heavens, and he framed them into what we now see. we see a brilliant design done by a brilliant wisdom. And not only is that design just visible to us, but it is God's self-revelation of himself, as told in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. In verse 21, the safety of walking in God's wisdom. He says, my son, do not let them vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And this is really the theme that you'll find throughout Proverbs from chapter 1 through chapter 9. This is what Solomon is teaching his son. He's teaching his sons as well. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Get knowledge. It is just reiterated over and over and over again. And why is that? Do we get it? Do we keep it? Sometimes I can get the understanding of something, but do I really practice it to the fullest? You know, it's not a burdensome thing that the word tells us things over and over and over again, because it really truly is trying to highlight what is important. Now you have the wisest man that ever lived just repeating and reiterating over and over to his sons, which also is a benefit for us, by the way. You know, we look at this in context that he is talking to his sons, but we can benefit as well from what Solomon is teaching. Get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding. And he gives the benefits throughout the first nine chapters of what will happen if you acquire wisdom, if you seek wisdom like a treasure. And he'll give the pitfalls as well if you don't seek wisdom as a treasure, if you don't treasure it. So God honors those who honors his wisdom, and he provides paths of safety. Remember, he will make our path straight. He will remove stumbling blocks. This is what will happen if you practice wisdom, but you have to practice it. Verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. And do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. This is something that we see that really, truly is pervasive in society. You ever see bickering neighbors? Isn't that just an awful, terrible thing? Wouldn't you hate to live next door to a neighbor that bickers about everything, and just without a cause? I've seen news items where neighbors that are in disagreement with a property line or disagreement with the kid's ball going over the fence or their dog getting loose and getting in the yard, where there has been violence against your next door neighbor, against another person. And that certainly does not speak of one that is looking to treasure wisdom, to acquire wisdom, and to get understanding. Just a very, very practical example of wisdom. When it is in our power to do well for our neighbors, we do so. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your might. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? That's why it's important. Because we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We are to have the heart to do what is in the best interest of those that live around us and those that live with us. And don't be quarrelsome with your neighbor, especially for those who have not done you any harm. And even if they have done you harm, there are other ways to interact with those that that don't have your well-being in view. Okay, so we start with lesson six. Let's see if I can get through this one. I listened to some of Pastor's lessons on Proverbs, and I tell you, don't listen to mine and go back and listen to his, please. Don't do it. It's a different kind of theme, but amazing how he just goes through two chapters in 45 minutes. I cannot get that. But that's okay. It's a different objective here. So study in Proverbs lesson 6, personal illustration and practical advice. And that really is what wisdom is all about. Wisdom is about acquiring knowledge, acquiring understanding, so you can skillfully navigate through life, and navigate in the sense that the path that you walk, the way that you walk, your course of life is done biblically based. So let's read chapter 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. In the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. Boy, I tell you, is that something that your mind, can you wrap your mind around that? That people can't actually sleep until they have done evil? Until they have caused someone to stumble? Is that someone that's walking in wisdom? Not at all. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Nefarious people out there. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And I'm going to stop at verse 17 for now. So hear, my children, the instruction of a father. And this is, Solomon now is talking to, he's changed from my son to my children. So the audience apparently has grown. And it's a family setting, once again. So this is the instruction of a father to benefit his children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, here the Israelites were instructed to teach the law to their kids. And this is exactly what's going on. This is exactly what he's doing. Verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Let your heart retain my words. Solomon recalls his own upbringing and instruction given to him by his father. It's not really just reminiscent. You know, he's saying, look, I understand what you're going through, youngster. Let me kind of give you an idea of what your granddad taught me. Does anybody ever say, hey, you know, man, my granddad was pretty smart, and he taught me to keep your nose clean. That's what my grandfather told me one day. I think I was probably about 19, 20, 21, something like that. And I don't even know what we were talking about, but before he walked away, he said, well, just keep your nose clean. And I remember that. Don't get into any trouble. Don't do anything stupid, which, of course, I did a lot of stupid things since then. But grandfathers have great wisdom. They have great wisdom. And he also mentions his mother. He said, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, just as David and Bathsheba taught him. He is teaching his sons. So wisdom is given a personality here, a personality that's actually, she speaks for herself. And wisdom is attained by the pupil through the instruction of the parent. We know that ultimately wisdom comes from God, right? But wisdom is taught in the family setting here, instruction from a parent to a child. And I know that we are all kind of in different walks of life here. Some of us may have young children. Some of us may have children that are still impressionable, that are growing into adulthood. But this is the nucleus. This is where it starts. You know, we can bring our kids to church and we can send them back there to Mr. Kim and to Alan and to Matt. And sure, they will instruct them. But that personal touch, that mom and that dad, turning off the television, sitting down and instructing their child in the ways of Scripture. I don't know why that was so hard to say. The ways of Scripture is priceless. It is absolutely priceless. And once again, we see the result of that, even here at our own church, where you have some youngsters that are just wonderful personalities, really have a heart towards the Lord. And once again, youngsters will be youngsters. There will be challenges. But overall, as we instruct them and they walk, we lead them, we guide them, just as Solomon is doing for his sons and just as David did for Solomon. So wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Get it. And the term has a sense of purchasing. Get it. In other words, it's going to cost you something. If you desire wisdom, if you pursue it, if you get wisdom, if you get understanding, get knowledge, it's going to cost you something. not something in a monetary way, but it might cost you being ostracized by your family. If you're a person that that has gained riches by less than honorable means, and you have come into the way of knowledge and understanding and wisdom, you will have to repent from that. You will have to turn from that. And maybe you won't be so financially stable, but you will have to give up something to get this knowledge. Even if it's turning off the TV, something simple, that's a start. I can't watch my favorite team play because I have to dig into this word. I have to understand more so I can walk properly, so I can walk upright, so I can walk with integrity. If you get knowledge, it will cost you something. And once wisdom has been pursued and attained to some degree, it has to be kept, right? In verse 4, it says, Solomon is talking about his father teaching. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. To keep my words in your heart. David taught Solomon well. And the reflection of that great teaching is presented in 1 Kings chapter 3, where Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. And I mentioned this last time. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for the heads of his enemies. He asked for wisdom. So he listened to his dad. Just like young folks here should listen to your parents. I used to tell my kids when they would resist me in certain things, look at me. Am I your enemy? Who loves you more than me? No one. Who wants the best for you more than me or your mother? Absolutely no one. So you teach your children, and you teach them because you love them. But it is important that they retain what they keep. And the idea is, if it must be retained, then we may have the propensity to lose it, right? Can anybody think of a really, really good example of somebody who had the greatest wisdom since mankind, since the garden, and didn't walk in that wisdom? Let's take a look. 1 Kings chapter 11. And once again, I've got the New King James Version. I kind of like this. That's what I read from, by the way. So this is why it's important to retain wisdom. Because once you start veering from the path, moving to the left or to the right, as they say, you are walking into uncharted territory, as it were. You're walking in the ways of evil when you move from the path of wisdom to the left or to the right. Perfect example. The one who taught wisdom, the one who libraried wisdom. Let's see what happened to him. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you, Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And Solomon clung to these loves. He clung to them in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Where's wisdom? What happened? He learned it. He didn't retain it. He didn't keep it. For it was so when Solomon was old and his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, I think that's how you pronounce it, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise. Now look at, this is a man who had all the wisdom that anybody could ever ask for. And look what's happening. Look what's happening to him. It takes effort to get wisdom. And it is a continual process to continue to walk in the path of wisdom. We just don't get it. We just don't acquire knowledge and acquire understanding and say, boy, that's it, I got it. I'm a PhD in theology now. Nobody can tell me anything. But you can tell people a lot of things by the way you walk, your course of life. And this is what's happening with Solomon. Solomon is expressing what he once had, he no longer has. So the Lord, verse 9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded him. This is really amazing to me. The Lord God appears to a man twice in his life, and still he steps away from the path of which he is walking. Is that amazing to you? Just think about that. The Lord appears twice to a man, and he still steps away from the path. How easy is it for us, where the Lord has not come down and shaken you out of your boots while you're cutting grass and speak to you? How easy is it for us to not retain that knowledge and to not walk in understanding and walk in wisdom? Verse 11, therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. How gracious is the Lord? For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. But isn't it wonderful that the Lord still is gracious with us, though we may step aside from walking in wisdom, that he still will be gracious? Now, we have to be responsible for our actions, yes. But the Lord certainly is gracious. So wisdom also has the ability to preserve, as given in verse 5. Get that wisdom, get that understanding. Don't forget it or turn away from the words of my mouth, he says. Verse 6, do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. She will guard you if you acquire wisdom. Verse 10, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Hear, my son, receive my sayings. And that's receiving is not just hearing. It is grasping it and putting it in your heart, treasuring it in your heart. And look at the terms that he's using, to hear, to receive. The benefit will be years of life. He's taught his son in the way of wisdom. He's led him in the right paths. And what is the benefit? What is the result of being led and walking in the right path? When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. And what are we to do? Take firm hold of instruction. Take it. Take firm hold of instruction. Don't let go. Keep her, for she is your life. And some other terms that he's using, do not enter in the path of the wicked. These are admonitions. These are warnings. Don't do it. Do not enter in the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Go by it. Go around it. I remember when we were doing chapter 1, and I gave an example of if my friends and I were walking down the street and somebody came that we knew was of questionable character, turn around and went the other way, just very quietly. Just pass on from it. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Eat the bread of wickedness. And their sleep is taken away if they don't cause someone to fall. This actually is just a reflection of a person's in total way of life, their total course of life. Wickedness and evil is something that they do that causes them to sleep. And what does it say for us in chapter 3, verse 24? It says that our sleep will be what? It'll be sweet. If we practice wisdom, our sleep will be sweet. But this evil personality can't sleep. Man, I wasn't nasty enough today. I didn't cause anybody to stumble. I got to figure out, no, I got to do better tomorrow. This is the mentality. This is a reality. These are the type of people that we have walking on this earth. And it tells us right here, their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness. Wickedness is their nourishment. Can you see that picture? They are nourished by practicing evil. They are nourished by practicing wickedness. Man, oh man, it's almost scary. They eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. Verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And this is the antithetical summary. And I really like this picture. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter until the perfect day. And the picture is, as you start out in life, it's dawn. Just picture it as a full day. And as you go through life and you acquire more wisdom and you acquire this understanding, as the sun comes towards midday, it's brighter. It is at its full strength. And you can see clearly. You can see obstacles in your path. You can see the horizon. You can see where you're going. Right? But the way of the wicked is what? It's like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So the wicked starts out at dusk. And he is walking along the path. And as time moves on, it gets darker and darker and darker. He can't see the obstacles that are in the path. He can't see off in the distance the horizon to where he's going. And there are obstacles there. And he stumbles. And he doesn't understand or know why he stumbles. He doesn't have the moral sense to realize that sin is death. He doesn't know. He is walking in darkness and he is stumbling. And he doesn't know why. He doesn't know what's making him stumble. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips, far away from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Don't veer off the path of wisdom. There's evil to the right. There's darkness to the left. If you veer off the path where you can see in the bright light of day, you will stumble. And this is almost like an anatomy lesson. You have to hear what is being taught. And what's being taught should not depart from your eyes, from your vision, from what you see. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because your heart holds your treasure. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far away from you. Don't be a deceitful person. You're not walking on that path if you're being deceitful. Let your eyes look straight ahead to righteousness, justice, and integrity. And your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the feet of your path. Think about where you're walking. Even though you're walking in midday in bright light, think about it. Where am I going? I love this path that is so clear. There are no rocks, no fallen trees, there's nothing. But where am I going? You're not wandering aimlessly. you have an objective, you have a direction, and you have an ending point. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn once again to the right or the left, and remove your feet from evil. So believe it or not, and I cannot believe it, and I never can, when I go through an entire chapter. So that's chapter 3. Do we have any questions, comments? We're all family here. Don't be bashful.
I couldn't help but ask if you want to retract after reading 1 Kings 11, that Solomon was the wisest.
Oh, well. Yeah. Well, let's say just born of women. We'll say that. By another man. Yeah, that's, I know it. Really is pretty amazing, but I think that that really truly is a lesson for us, though. I mean, you know, he was given a lot of wisdom, and he knew how to navigate skillfully through life, and he proved that over and over. I mean, people came from all over the world just to sit at his feet and listen, but yeah, he didn't retain it. He didn't keep it. He lost it. He gave it up. Yeah, and that's something for us to, once again, you know, what we read in Scripture really is for our understanding and knowledge and how the Lord works, but also we can look at things and say, you know, that's a valuable lesson for us. Even though we have wisdom and wisdom comes from God, we still have to, it's work. You still have to keep moving forward. So, okay, let's, it's a little bit after, so let's end in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today's lesson. We thank you that you have once again revealed yourself and your truth. And in studying wisdom, Father, help us to understand the importance of it being reiterated over and over and over again. To get knowledge, to get understanding, to get wisdom, and not only to get it, to have it for intellectual acknowledgement, Father, but to retain it, to put it in our hearts, to hide it as a wonderful treasure that we can go into and use whenever we desire, whenever we need it. We pray for the going forth of the word today. May it touch the heart of those who need it, which is all of us. And if there's anyone here or anyone that will be in our midst today that needs that regeneration from the Spirit, I pray that the Word will do its work today and cause that repentance. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.